Hey, welcome back to the Defense Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Daryl.
And Daryl, this is our Tuesday animation reviews on a Tuesday.
Tuesday pod. Not like pod. Podrick Payne.
Who's a straight G
from Game of Thrones.
Straight G.
Yes. Apparently, the whores liked him.
Yeah, they gave him. They didn't. Yeah, they wouldn't even accept the money. So.
Yeah.
What Podrick made,
as
what,
Tyrion says.
Yes. What Podrick made up. Podrick made up for in the boudoir with what he lacked on the field of battle.
Yes.
Which isn't true because he killed the one Night's Guard who was trying to kill Tyrion.
Yeah. So he finally. Yeah. He worked his way a little bit. So.
You know, if he would have just given the business to Brienne, she would have forgotten all about Jamie and wouldn't have gotten into any of the trouble she got into.
Yeah.
So anyway. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah.
As we were talking about before we started recording, both of us got hit with a little bit of a few storms here and there.
A little weather.
Yes. We even had the sirens go off over here.
We did not have that.
Right down the street from the sirens.
We did not have
that. Yeah, it went off like three times.
It's funny. I saw a news article. This has nothing to do with pop culture, but the state of Indiana had declared an emergency. And it was like, oh, wow, the storms must be really bad. No, it's for illegal immigrants. So.
Seriously?
Yeah, dead serious. Anyway, more states need to.
Did not know that.
Need to hop on board. Anyway, all right. So before we fall down that rabbit hole,
that is a big rabbit hole.
We're gonna talk about the most recent episodes of X-Men 97 and Invincible. So season 2, episode 7 of Invincible, and episode 3 of X-Men 97. And I cannot state again, Bo DeMeo. We are wrong so far.
Yeah. And I did watch it again. I think I told you that I was watching it in this evening, actually, probably about an hour and a half ago. And oh my goodness.
Dude, I just rewatched it. I rewatched Invincible and I took an entire half a point off.
You definitely liked it more than I did.
Did you see my score?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that much, actually. Yeah. So.
But, like, yeah, because I was like, oh, yeah, because, like, the stuff I really liked, but there's more to hate. So, anyway. All right. Let's just hop right into Invincible. If you are so inclined. So this is called I'm Not Going Anywhere, directed by Ian Abando and written by Simon Riocopa, something like that. I don't know. It aired on March 28th. And this opens with Mark and Amber at Comic-Con. And it's like, I kind of forgot they kind of got back together at the end of the last episode. I was like, why is he with her? He should be doing his thing so Eve can show up and be like, Mark Grayson, when was you going to call me? but he leaves her there, but like she's also like taken over the hobby. She's more into comic books than he is because they go out of their way for Amber to be better than Mark in every possible way.
You know what I said when she said that, that I probably read more comics than you now.
Yeah, I threw up in my mouth. I was like, That's what I did. This character has outlived her usefulness. Like, I get you have Zazie Beetz as the voice, and, you know, Zazie Beetz is actually pretty awesome. But at the end of the day.
Loved her as Domino.
Yeah, right? Loved her as Domino. Loved her in Atlanta.
It kind of is.
It kind of is, yeah. I mean, Luck is definitely a superpower.
Yeah, it is.
but that being said, like, the Amber character should have been gone 3 episodes ago, probably 6, but who are we to judge? Rex escapes the Guardian of this galaxy facility, Guardians of the Globe facility, and
I do that too.
He's off off trying to fight the squid shark guy, who speaks like Bizarro, which is great. And he's just having himself a time. He's, you know, just not really. He's still like shaking and nervous, you know. He got shot in the face and he had his hand bitten off. I mean, or back of the head, sorry. And had his hand bitten off. Like, the last time he went out on a mission, it was not anything other than a mitigated failure.
Yeah.
So, you know, so Eve asks Mark to go help. And he gets there and Mark's like, I'll take the big guy. And Rex is like, I need this. I need this bad. So, you know, it was a really good, like, kind of cold open, almost opening, if you will, whatever you want to call it. A lot of good animation here. A lot of really good animation in this stuff. You know, and then we get to the kind of the really, like, morose part of the show of the last couple episodes with Donald and like learning he's died like 30 times, 40 times. And they bring him back every time and erase his memory because who wants to live with that trauma? Exactly. You know, and yeah, you know, there's that. And then kind of jumping to the end of the episode, like Rick is wanting to jump and William is like, no, don't. I mean, don't. Seriously, man. That's, no, you're only two stories up. You're mostly robot. It's really not going to hurt you. But Donald comes and talks him down off the ledge, literally. And I love it. Rick's like, how would you know? And Donald like unbuttons his shirt. And even though like when you see the jacket, he's got like a belly, right? But he unbuttons the shirt, six pack.
Right?
Yeah. I was like, wait a second.
What's going on here?
One of these things is not right. And that's just nitpicky, but I think they did that in the comic too, actually. But yeah, so he dissuades them and you know, happily ever after, right?
Yeah.
But the big issue I had with Amber this week was the date. The fact that they replaced Debbie with Amber in the introduction of Anissa, and they made it much more brutal, like traumatically brutal, like psychologically, than they needed to. And Mark panicked immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then Amber's reaction to all of this. That was like the really bad stuff. The Anissa stuff was great. The Alan stuff was great.
Yeah, and again, we were talking about it the other day, and we both, Anissa's character design is phenomenal.
Flawless.
It's probably the best one that we've seen as far as the invincible characters.
It's so good it's she looks so out well of place. Right?
You know, and I'm going to talk about this later, but it reminded me more of the X-Men animation, because as much as I like Invincible's animation, especially the facial features and the facial emotions, X-Men 97 blows it out of the water with that regard. And I really saw that today rewatching it.
Well, we have a reveal of a character in X-Men 97 that also looks so good. She's out of place. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna leave that alone for a few minutes. But yeah, it's just you know, it, cause Anissa's mission's a little different. Like she's like, oh yeah, you're here to take over. You have to take over now. Like I'm here to tell you this and we're gonna talk about it. Or before she came to talk about it and be like, look, we really want you to take over, but we want you to kind of understand that Viltrumites, we're the good guys. We bring peace and prosperity to my new empire. We, you know, I mean,
it's like, we don't like killing.
We don't
satisfaction take, sometimes from it.
We aren't pleased by killing, but we definitely get off on it. Like it's most of our kinks. Like let's be honest. Yeah. So you know, but the fight with her again, they've left out a crucial thing that Mark learned from his dad in the comic when he was on Thraxa. You have to push yourself. However strong you think you are, you have to push it, and you will be that strong. However fast you have to push it. And Mark is not doing any of that. He's just whining about some dumpy girl from college and high school.
Right. And that was the thing you told me. It's like, you know, he didn't do his, you know, what is it? Higher, further, faster, or whatever that stupid Captain Marvel thing is.
Right.
But, and again, I don't know if they're going to have him do that in this episode. But again, we have one episode left. And
do we? Considering how it ends, do we know it's only one episode?
Yeah, it's 8 episodes this season.
Oh, well, yeah. We have one episode left. So I'm hoping Conquest is like on his way to Earth at the end of the episode.
Oh, man.
Like, you know. Yeah. But here's the thing, we have to get Mark with Eve first, but like, you know, we have the Angstrom Levy stuff. That's probably what it's gonna be. Because he's at the house with Debbie. But like, Amber needs to go immediately. Like, just like they're done now. They broke up. Like, we don't even need her in episode 8. We definitely don't need her in season 3. We should just move on to the love of Mark's life, Samantha Eve Wilkins, and go from there.
Yes.
But
slash Adam Eve.
But who was woefully underused this season?
Oh man, it's
like she annoying. Wins. You know how the Ringer, they do like the heat check award for like does the most with the limited amount of screen time in the in the rewatchables. Like, she definitely wins the heat check award because like what little we saw of her, she's been badass. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. So Anissa goes with Mark to talk, and then a giant kaiju attacks the cruise ship, just like in the comic. Mark goes to stop it, and she's like, well, I want to see how strong the son of Nolan is. And then Mark goes out there, and he's just a jabroni, right? He's getting tossed around. He's getting thrown into the water. He's
flubbing everything
up. Like his punches aren't landing right. He's not getting the job done because this version of Mark this is a different version of Mark than what is in the comic. Like, this is a different part of the multiverse that Angstrom is going through. And I think he picked this version of Mark because this version of Mark is a cuck little bitch.
I'm buying that.
So
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Anyway, so Anissa's watching, and like the disgust that they drew on her face, the disgust in what she was watching. She was like, "This jobber, like this is the 1-2-3 kid before he became friends with Shawn Michaels, right? This is like this dude's not winning. This is Jeff and Matt Hardy when they were getting ripped off by the local promoter in North Carolina" to get them jobs as jobbers on WWE television, right? Like, where it's like $65. Yeah.
Yeah. This is Rocky Maivia coming out smiling and everything and everybody telling him he sucks.
No, because people kind of cheer for this guy and they kind of like Invincible because at the Comic-Con there were like Invincible fanboys and girls. But there were no Rocky Maivia fans.
No, that's what I mean.
So, but I'm saying this version of Invincible even has some cuck bitch fans too. But,
well, do they even count though?
I mean,
it's like if a tree falls in the empty forest.
There were 8 of them, and they took a picture. So, and they posted it to their 13 followers that are all bots on whatever version of TikTok they're on, as they scream about their agency. Anyway, so but Anissa has the coolest scene in this episode. She flies straight through the kaiju, and then as she comes through, she like kind of stands upright and at super speed just like shoots the blood off of her, kind of like what I told you before when the samurai would draw blood with his katana and then flick the blood off before resheathing it. It was so cool.
That scene was sick.
And it's like, that wasn't in the comic, but that was cool because you could not have done that in the comic book. So, because I think she was just dripping with entrails after she flew through it. Yeah. But she also like picked up the boat and flew it to safety. But it was so cool. And, you know, and then Mark has to fight her. Mark can't listen to Cecil and be like, just tell her what she wants to hear. Like, this version of Mark would have done that. This version of Mark standing up to her and taking his beating like a man is not who this character is. He's so inconsistent.
No.
The only really good thing about the Invincible character on the show Invincible is Steven Yeun's voice. The voice acting is awesome. I mean, you know, Galra Keith as Invincible? Hell yeah, sign me up. That's a perfect voice for that character design. But, like, come on. Like, I'm going to just jump to the worst part of it. After him and Amber have their tearful goodbye, she's like, I don't have any agency. Great, let's get him some agency now. Since you don't need any, biting off of his. Get the fuck out.
No one says that in a conversation.
You said it to me yesterday.
Unless you're talking about a character or an individual in the third person, like this person doesn't have agency, no one says that about themselves.
I know.
It was awful.
It was so bad. It was so virtue signaling.
It was terrible. And again, as much as in other stuff, I've liked Zazie Beetz, and I told you a dozen times I've never watched Atlanta.
I just took two tenths of a point off the score while we've been talking about this. So, yeah, it's bad. It's just bad. The Oliver stuff was good. And he's coming along. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if this is the last we see of her, please, we hope it is. Because she is far and away has been the worst thing about this show from day one.
She is the albatross around the neck of this show.
And as frustrating as it is, Mark has been a distant second with, like you said, his inconsistency and how they've taken him away, taken some of the things of watching him grow and watching what he needs to do to get stronger. They've taken that away.
Mm-hmm. And they've given it to other characters. Like Amber.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So out of five, who doesn't have agency now, Ambers? What do you give this one?
I give it a 3.25. The stuff I liked, I really liked, especially with Anissa.
Yep.
It's just, I can't get past how Amber in the two, three scenes she was in, or the three bigger scenes, she actually absolutely took away my ability to enjoy it. Not just because it's her, but the writing of the character is awful.
It's the writing of the character. Awful. That's the problem.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Absolutely it is.
I went with a 3.55.
Again, I don't...
Yeah. Down from a 3.75.
Yeah.
So, because we were just talking about it, I was getting mad. So, any last words? Because, it's just not good.
My biggest takeaway is please, for everything that we love about these type of shows and movies and comics, let this be the last we see of Amber, and I'll be happy, man with this show.
We can only wish, right? Like a boy can dream.
Yeah. All right. Because again, nobody likes Amber.
No, dude. Amber doesn't even like Amber. So that's like. You know, how can you like someone who doesn't have any agency? All right, let's move on. X-Men 97. Let's move on
some good.
So, I have a typo there. Sorry. So, episode 3, Fire Made Flesh. Emi Yamamura is the director, written by Bo DeMeo, again, I'm so sorry, dude. And Charlie Feldman, aired March 27th, 2024. The X-Men take the Jean Doe I love that they called her Jean Doe. The Jean lookalike, who Beast determines is the real Jean, Mr. Sinister contacts the other Jean, revealing her to be a clone he created before asserting control over her and turning her into the Goblin Queen, which is the character design I was talking about. It was amazing.
Oh, my.
She looked fantastic, and it was another, like Anissa, she looked so good. She did not fit in with the rest of the characters.
And
I'm not saying the characters look bad either.
In motion?
Yeah.
No, they don't. They don't. So. Not at all. They actually look really good. But watching her and her facial expressions throughout, it was, again, I liked it when I first watched it, but mm-hmm. I watched it a little closer this time. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. It was incredible.
Yeah.
It was so incredible how they brought her to life.
Yeah. I mean, she had the whole, like, Sailor Moon, you know, Superman from that HBO Max Superman change. but, yeah, it was really, really cool. And she looked great. Her powers were great. She dropped some foreshadowing about Inferno. The other really cool character design was when Morph... did I say that right? Morph?
Morph.
Yeah. When Morph morphed into, to magic, and then the demon child, which was like, holy crap. Yeah. That's like, for some people, that's an X-Men deep cut. Like for us, it's not. Yeah. But you know, right. for some people it is, and that's fine. Like no problems there. If you don't know what we're talking about, go read New X-Men. But I do love how he's pulling like X-Factor and New X-Men stories into the 92 X-Verse as the X-Men proper team.
He's so far. And again, I keep saying this just because
he got fired because he's too good. I don't want to
be disappointed.
He got fired because he's too good.
I don't want to be disappointed. Yeah. I don't want to be disappointed. And again, we know how Disney disappoints. Lately, like
it's their company mandate.
Disappointing.
Yes,
since 2019, whatever. But
let's jump all the way back to 2014.
Man, yeah, these last three episodes and the way, like you said, he's pulled in all these different storylines, and again, you have 30 minutes to tell this story.
Not even.
And the way they're, well, yeah, not even 30 minutes. The way they've been telling these stories is it's unbelievable. It's so, again, if I saw this without any note knowing this was Disney or whatever, I'd say this is like whoever this company is and whoever's behind this, they know what they're doing.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. So let's talk about the beats that they hit in this, right? One, it's the real Jean Grey, the Phoenix Jean Grey, who died as the Phoenix, which We'll learn more about that later. Madeline Pryor being born. So the clone Jean Grey becomes Madeline Pryor, who becomes the Goblin Queen, who fights off Sinister to try and save Nate, who gets infected with the techno-organic virus. Bishop goes and takes Nate to the future, where he will become Cable. And we get Forge introduced in this episode, which I loved. Because I love Forge. Like, Forge is another favorite X-Men of mine.
I love Forge. He was one of my favorites, too.
But here's the best thing.
Pretty much everything.
The way they handled the Jean Grey, Madeline Pryor, Cyclops love triangle, they did it without the Cyclops character assassination of him leaving Madeline and Nate to go be with Jean.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Which
the deft hand that this episode was handled with, plus we got a astral plane fight, which are always fun.
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome. Incredible. It's just pretty much everything they did in this episode. And again, so far, this is my favorite episode. Again, out of three episodes, it's the action sequences, again, the character design of Jean Grey and Madeline Pryor, mm-hmm. the Again, the one thing I still have trouble with are some of the voice acting is not up to par with what I would like.
Sure.
But it does it everything else is so good. I can be okay with that. It's
Right.
like a video again, video game, the perfect example. And I mentioned to you that the guy playing Bishop reminds me of the actor that plays Barrett in Final Fantasy VII Remake, where I don't like his voice. It comes across to me, especially the Barrett character, because there's a little bit more background with him, that he's a guy that, again, he's 6'5", 300 pounds of muscle with a freaking minigun for an arm, and it's like a he's like a guy trying to talk tough. But then you see moments, again, at least with Barrett, where he has a little girl, and there are moments where he's not talking like that I like. But when he's trying to talk tough, it's almost like the actor's like, okay, I need to play this, this big tough black guy, and I have to talk this way. I don't like, and it's the same with Bishop. I love the character design, and again, talking about what I love, hey, Cyclops, hit me. That was awesome.
Dude, that's why they're the perfect team, because he uses kinetic
Man.
energy and, the whole like kinetic blast, concussive blast just does the job.
I
Although,
love
did
that
you see
scene.
they've retconned that recently where it's kind of like, how Nightcrawler has to like bamf through another dimension? It's actually his powers come from another dimension, and that's why he can't control them.
Oh,
Not,
Cyclops?
yeah, it's stupid. It's just dumb.
Oh,
Anyway,
I read something about
yeah,
that a while ago, but
it's
yeah.
better forgotten anyway. But yeah, I mean, like, we don't really have to talk for a long time about this episode because it is so good, and you should just watch it.
And guess what tomorrow is?
The next episode.
Yes.
So
Oh, I can't wait.
here's the thing. If you don't have Disney Plus, just email Daryl. He'll give you his ID and password to log in and let you watch this. Just go under mine on there. It's the R2D2. It's the only thing on my watch list. So what? It is. I mean, it's the only thing. I
Like,
don't
just email Daryl. You're welcome. Which, by the
know.
way, I love when they said that to each other
Oh
too. They're like,
yeah.
"You're welcome."
But anyway, it is this episode. It's so good. It sets up so many more directions. Sinister gets away. Sinister looked awesome.
Yeah.
If they ever do a live action Mr. Sinister, you know who I want to see play him? And it might not make sense because he's older. Keith David.
Dude, I love Keith David's voice.
Keith David as Mr. Sinister
He's,
would be great.
yeah. He's one of my favorite voices of actors out
Oh
there.
yeah.
I love his voice.
One hundred,
Again,
as
when
the
I
kids
watch,
say.
when Gargoyles, it's like Goliath. So, but
Is
yeah,
he the
like you
voice of
said, we don't,
Goliath?
there's not a lot to.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I
we
forgot
live
that.
again.
Oh, yeah. So good.
But yeah, there's not a lot to say need to say about this. I mean, again, that's how I just it's one of those things that I kind of
I mean, I really guess the
in a
only thing we
way.
have to say is, again, we're sorry, Bo DeMayo, like, you're kicking ass.
Yeah, I know.
So,
Yeah, I know,
but
man. Like, come on social media again so I can just go on there and say, look, dude,
yeah,
sorry.
just
You've made a kick-ass
here's the
show.
thing, Bo, if this somehow makes it to your ears, just email me. We will have you come on. We will do nothing but praise you.
And just
And
as oh.
then we will start a petition. Only if you come on, though. We'll start a petition to get you reinstated as the showrunner of X-Men 97. If this is the level of quality we can expect.
Yeah, damn it. I really would. Again, this is like the it's like when we talk about people so used to getting things right now, the express generation or what have you, or the instant gratification.
Yeah.
Part of me really wish there's a part of me that would have loved if they just released all 10, but then the
No,
other part of
because then
me
we'd be done
actually
talking
likes the
about
fact.
it. We wouldn't be able to talk
Yeah.
about it every week.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The other part, not just for us podcast wise,
Yeah.
but just there's a part of me that just loves to digest it.
Right.
Just kind of like with Shogun, it's a different thing, but. Shogun in that way, where you have to wait a week and you can digest the previous episode, which I'll probably watch episode 7 Shogun tonight. But
yeah,
it's, oh man, I'm just having so much fun with this. And
so let's rate this. Yeah, I know. Let's rate it.
Yeah.
We're going to continue to gush for no reason when we can just rate it.
Yeah.
Out of 5 is the Inferno Upon Us is.
Out of 5, I give it a 4.3.
Nice. I went 4.35.
I saw that, and I was like 4.25 at first, and I'm like, you know what? I like it a little bit more than that, but I don't want to.
So I was 4.25 at first, and I jumped it up a tenth because of how much I love the Goblin Queen's character design.
Yeah. Yeah, that battle between her and Magneto.
Yeah. So I watched the third season of the He-Man Revolution show on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And the character design for Teela, when I'm going to spoil a bunch of stuff real quick. So she's the sorceress, and then she gets the ram's head staff and the snake staff, and she combines them all together. And then the character design that they do for her and He-Man based on having that amount of power is fucking awesome. And
so you think I should watch it?
I absolutely think you should watch it. I thought it was great. And I was lost because I did not watch the second season. So there were some things I'm like, what is happening here?
I'll find a summary of it somewhere.
Why is Man of Arms a black lesbian now? Oh, Man of Arms is still there. Great. Oh, now he's Man of War. Awesome. Got it. Caught up. Let's go. So, why does Mark Hamill only have one voice for animation now? And why is that voice the Trickster from 1990 man. Flash?
Yeah, that's kind of like, dude, expand a little bit.
He's too worried about.
And again, it's not
X
like it's,
and
all that. Yeah, it's not even like it's his regular voice. If say, for instance, if you talked in your regular voice with your roles, okay, but it's such a unique voice. Why do you use it all the time?
Let me tell you why he does, Daryl, because he's a hack. all of his talent left his body when he got into that car crash.
Maybe the Last Jedi broke him.
I mean, the Last Jedi definitely broke him. His TDS broke him. You know, there's lots of things that have broken Mark, which is sad, but you know, it is what it is. Anyway, all right. So that was a weird note to end on. So,
yeah, I know, right?
So X-Men 97, it's awesome.
Watch it.
Yes, watch it. All right. That's it. We will be back next week to talk about Shogun. And then Tuesday might be, well, we'll do Tuesday, but we might also do Tuesday/WrestleMania Day. On Tuesday.
Oh yes.
Because WrestleMania nights 1 and dos are upon us this weekend. And I'm very excited. Oh, and everybody should email Daryl and tell him he has to go to SummerSlam with me in Cleveland. So
dude, I will be happy this weekend if the savior of WrestleMania wins this title, his deserved title.
Chad Gable is not fighting for a title.
He's not the savior of WrestleMania. Dude, the eulogy for Seth Rollins.
Logan Paul? you're talking about that. I prayed for this.
Yeah, he did a eulogy for Seth Rollins.
I prayed for this, Monday. And it happened.
It's hilarious.
I'm gonna stomp on
But yeah, that's a good
your
that.
Wii noodle arm and kick your arse. Yeah, so I mean, obviously my boy's gotta win, but we'll see. All right, on that note, before we jump down a rabbit hole, thank you all for listening. It has been fantastic. We appreciate you all. We love you all. Thank you for all the listens from the Sunday episode so far. Hopefully this isn't too close to that, but we'll find out. If you want us to do the Tunesday later, I don't know if we will, because I like calling it Tunesday. So
Yeah, I like that too.
anyway, all right, D, give me any last words and we'll say goodbye.
Da-na-na-na-na-na. That's it.
All right,
Watch it.
bye.
See ya.
The FS Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on Apple Podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcast, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Daryl Jasper and me, Brian Tudor. To find more information about the show, visit us at infamouspodcast.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at infamouspodcast to keep up with the show. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons and are looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. Music for this podcast is provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.